Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory be to Jesus. Are we getting a late start tonight in the preaching, aren't we? For a long time I've traveled down a long, lonely road. For a long time I traveled down a long, lonely road. My heart was so heavy, and sin I sang low. Oh, but then I heard about Jesus. Oh, what a wonderful hour. Oh, I'm so glad that I found out He would bring me out by His saving power. Oh, thank God I am free. Free, free from this world of sin. I've been washed in the blood of Jesus. I've been born again. Oh, hallelujah, I'm saved. Saved, saved by His wonderful grace. I'm so glad that I found out He would bring me out and show me the way. Oh, like a bird out of prison. Oh, that's taken its flight. Like the blind man that God gave back his sight. Oh, like the poor wretched beggar. Oh, that found fortune and fame. I'm so glad that I found out He could bring me out and praise His holy name. Oh, thank God I am free, free, free from this world of sin. I've been washed in the blood. That's where it is. I've been born again. Oh, hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, saved by His wonderful grace. I'm so glad that I found out He would bring me out and show me the way. For a long time I traveled down such a long, lonely road. My heart was so heavy, and sin I sang low. But then I heard about Jesus. Oh, what a wonderful hour. I'm so glad that I found out He would bring me out through His saving power. Say it. Thank God I am free, free, free from this world of sin. Oh, I've been washed in the blood of Jesus. I've been born again. Oh, hallelujah, I'm saved by His wonderful grace. I'm so glad that I found out He would bring me out and show me the way. Raise your hands and love Him tonight. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thanks be to God, thanks be to God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Love the Lord tonight, don't you? Want His help, His mercy, His grace tonight. Even stretch your hand this way and ask God to touch me in the remainder of this. Amen. If I preach just a little while, would you stay with me? How many will stay with me? Raise your hands. Amen. Stay with me just for a few moments. Even in time. Leviticus chapter number 14. This is what I feel in my heart tonight. Appreciate everybody that's here. Amen. To help us your service tonight. The devil does not like what's going on. The devil is getting agitated. get mad. Hallelujah. But there's nothing he can do about what God is doing in our lives. You see, the devil don't want this service to go any further than what it is right now. He'll use anything to, amen, try to distract us from moving, amen, in this service. Amen. Amen. Had a boy one time look at me, and I did not embarrass him. I just even asked the people to pray if they wanted to pray in the altar. I just so happened to look at him. He got aggravated at me, and he said, and told his mama, said, "I don't want him to look at me when he's preaching." I mean, he got so mad. Needless to say, he got so mad he come back Monday night. He got so mad he come back Tuesday night. And he got so mad that night, amen, not only was he so mad at me, but he loved me so much that he come out of the aisle and grabbed me by the hand, amen, and wept his way through to salvation. The old rugged cross of Calvary. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, it's 20 minutes to 9. We got to hurry. Amen. Leviticus chapter number 14 tonight. Amen. It's what I feel on my heart. Amen. To preach to us. Amen. You'll wonder where in the world I'm going, why I'm where I'm at. But I'm going. Just hold on. Amen. It'll be amen, just a little bit of the Lord to help me. I'll close you. Amen. Leviticus chapter number 14. Verse number 1, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, This shall be the law of the leopard. The day of his cleansing he shall be brought unto the priest. The priest shall go forth out of the camp. The priest shall look, and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leopard, then shall the priest command to take for him that is to be cleansed 2 birds alive." This next few scriptures seem a little gross, but listen. "That is to be cleansed 2 birds alive." Both birds are alive and clean. "He shall take cedar wood and scarlet and hyssop, and the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. As for the living bird, he shall take it, the cedar wood and the scarlet and the hyssop, and shall dip them in a living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. He shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy 7 times, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose into the open field." Amen. Hebrews chapter number 9. Amen. In verse number 22, Hebrews 9 and 22. "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood there is no remission of sin." Without the shedding of blood there is no remission of sin. Amen. You're going to help us, aren't you, just for a little while. Amen. Leviticus, when I first started, was one of the hardest books of the Bible to read. It's one of the toughest, amen, to study. But as I've grown, even when I'd read Genesis, Exodus, and get to Leviticus, amen, I'd always want to skip over it. I'd always want to go through it because I couldn't understand why in the world did I need all of that. Why did I need to understand that? But now that I've been preaching a while, amen, and I've been saved for 8 years, it has become one of the most sweetest books of the Bible. It is one of the most precious that there is. Come on now. Sometimes when the Lord's been moving like this and I go to preach, amen, it gets tough. Amen. So we either just go one way or the other. Amen. And I don't want to preach dead for the next few minutes. Amen. Amen. But Leviticus has become one of the greatest books. There are some hidden treasures in it like you have never seen. There are some treasures in it that are sweet to the soul. Amen. And even right here in my scripture reading tonight, amen, the leper, amen, was sores that come on, amen, a skin disease that came on the people, amen, and they would have to walk so many feet, amen, from everybody saying unclean, unclean. Don't you get too close to me. You liables to catch what I've got. Unclean, unclean. And when a man got leprosy, he was drove out of the camp of Israel and commanded to stay there and not allowed back into the camp. Amen. Until he was healed or the disease was gone. Amen. And then the priest would have to take two living birds. Amen. And this is a resemblance of sin in this hour. Amen. The leprosy disease is like sin. Amen. It separates you from the people of God. It separates you from God. It separates you from the Spirit of God. It separates you. Amen. The reason why, amen, some folks cannot understand, amen, the way that we act and the way we are is because, amen, they're carnal-minded. And carnal-minded people cannot accept the things of the Spirit. So was I a criticizer at one time. So was I one that said, there's no way I'll ever act like that. I'll never be a part of that bunch. Amen. I'll never be like them. Amen. I want to get just as far away from them kind of people as I can. But look at me tonight. I'm not smack dab right in the middle of them. And I'm flat sure happy to be where I'm at. They looked at me one time. Amen. At school, they said, Ralph, you ain't nothing but a fanatic. And it hurt my feelings till I found out what a fanatic is. It's somebody who flat sure enjoys what he does. Oh, and I said, call me that again, because I flat sure love what I'm doing. Oh, amen. Glory to God. Amen. The devil said, you know, you what you've got ain't real, boy. Amen. You know how he talks to you. Amen. We, you know, the tamarind is playing. And, amen. I'd been saved about a few months. And I went to town one day. Amen. I hadn't been saved but about a month or two. Amen. I went to town. And this woman, I was with my pastor and his boy. Amen. And, you know, I thought everybody loved my church. Amen. I forgot, you know, they were criticized in the town. I thought everybody loved it. And when I walked in that store that day, this woman looked at me and she knew who I was with. She said, hey, son. I said, yes, ma'am. How you doing? And I smiled real big. She looked at me and she said, I know who you are. And I know what you are. She said, you go out of that crazy church. And I said, which church? I said, the Tabernacle? She said, yes. I said, yes, ma'am, I do. You know, I thought everybody ought to love it. When she looked back at me, she said, I want to tell you something. The only time you bunch ever get to shouting is when the piano playing is about to, amen, break the strings, and the bass guitar is a boom, 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 and the drummer is about to bust the drums, and the tamarind's going 90-0. That's the only time you people, amen, ever act like you do. And Sister Savage, at that time, it just so happened, I hadn't been saved but a month, just so happened every time we had shouted was with the music. So I said, oh Lord, she's telling the truth. Amen. We have shouted every time on the music. So I went back to church and I said, Lord, please, if it's just in the music and that's all we're doing, it's jumping with the music. I said, well, Lord, there's something wrong. But if it ain't in the music, let it fall on me tonight while he's a preaching. And I should have never asked him before he got to preaching. Brother Winford King got to preaching that night, come down the middle aisle, amen, 10 minutes in his message. And he said, hit it again. I said, hit that rock again. And something got a hold of me. And when it got finished with me, about an hour later, I come to myself off the floor. Amen. You know what I said? I wish I could find that woman. I'd like to tell her, I don't hear no drum. I don't hear no piano. I don't hear no tamarind. I don't hear no bass guitar. But I still can shout anyway, because what I'm a feeling, amen, don't need no materialistic, amen, thing to pump it up. It's real. It's alive. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Amen. Unclean, unclean. So the Bible said when they get healed, before the leopard can be brought into the camp of Israel, they have to take two birds. Now, I didn't understand this either. I've read it a bunch of times, but I never come to it. Even like the Lord gave it to me. Two birds is the remedy to kill, amen, to, amen, heal or to cleanse this leopard. Well, the first bird, two of them is alive, both of them's alive, both of them's clean. Well, the priest walks into, amen, the sacrificing place, the temple, and begins to do his work. The first bird, he kills. And he drains all that blood into that earthen vessel. Until all the blood is drained out of that bird into that earthen vessel. Now, what does that mean? What can that mean to help us? That is Jesus Christ hanging on the cross, even as His blood drained out of His body, home to the earth, home to the ground, on Golgotha's hill, on Calvary's hill, as it drained down. Well, the second command is to take the other living bird, walk over to the earthen vessel, dip that living bird in that blood. Walk over to the leopard, sprinkle 7 times. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 7. Amen. I done went to 8 before I got to 7, didn't I? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Amen. And he sprinkled, and then the Bible said, when you bring that living bird out of the blood, with blood dripping all over the place, walk out to an open field, amen, and let it go, and let it fly away. Amen. And that shows that that leopard is free from his disease. Well, the second living bird, how many knows what I'm supposed to say now? The second living bird is Jesus Christ being buried in the earthen vessel. Amen. Come on now. Amen. In the tomb, drenched in his own blood. But on the third day, glorious, he came out alive with blood all over him. And they felt glory. And he ascended up unto the right hand of the Father. And he's still moving tonight, dropping blood everywhere he goes. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to preach this for the next few moments on thank God I am free. Thank God I am free. Amen. People in this world do not know what it is to be free. Amen. Hallelujah. There was a certain man in the Bible. Come on, stay with me a little while. Amen. Don't leave me by myself tonight. Amen. There was a man in the Bible. Amen. I never saw it like this. But the Bible said Jesus got in a boat and went to the other sea, the other side of the sea. Amen. When he got there, amen, on the land of Gennesaret, Gadarenes. Amen. He stepped all on the land. But I've always wondered, why did he leave where he was at? There was a lot of demon-possessed people over there. Why did he just stay there and heal somebody? But instead, he went all the way across, amen, and got to the land of the Gadarenes. And when he stepped out on that sea, or out on that shore, immediately one ran to him who had been cutting himself, amen, and screaming. Amen. They had bound him with chains, but he couldn't seem to. He would break them asunder. They would bind him with cords, and he would break them asunder. But you notice something in the Bible. The Bible said, but in the night he cried, cutting himself. Though everybody in town was scared of him, at night he didn't like what he was. For he cried. And that's why Jesus left one seashore and went to the all the way to the other side. Because a man was crying, hallelujah, for help. And no man could seem to tame him. But when Jesus stepped on board, oh, the devil don't like this tonight. Amen. Amen. When Jesus stepped out on that shore and his feet touched the ground, immediately the Bible said he ran and worshiped. Amen. One preacher preached on his legion, smarter than what we are. For legion worships, amen, and we don't worship. But legion worships him, thou son of David. Why hast thou come to persecute us before our time? Amen. But when Jesus got finished with him, the Bible said they saw him sitting and clothed and in his right mind. That's holiness preaching too, ain't it? He was sitting and clothed. Even he was no longer naked. He was clothed and in his right mind. And the Bible said the people were afraid. Amen. And astonished. Amen. Because here said a man. They were afraid before because of his fierceness. But now they're afraid of what has happened to him. For he is now in control in an out of control world. Come on here now. Amen. And the world thinks we're crazy. Amen. For the way that we are and the way that we act. And they say, y'all out of control. Y'all don't have no organization. But I want to tell you, we are in control in this out of control world. Come on here now. We're in control of our lust. We're in control of our tempers. Amen. Come on now. I got out of the Atlanta airport. Stay with me just a little while now. See, look, our minds are scattered this minute. Amen. I got out at the airport in Atlanta, and as I stepped out, I needed somebody to help me. I had so much luggage. Amen. And I needed somebody to help me, and my truck was far off. And this colored man walked up, and I said, sir, how much do you? Amen. I said, I need somebody to get my luggage, take it out to my truck. He said, well, he said to me, he said, where's your truck at? I said, it's out on 32. He said, man, we don't go out there. That's too far. I said, $5? He said, I ain't doing nothing, I guess I can. Amen. So he wheeled my luggage all the way out, even to my truck. Come on now, if you knew how far I would have walked, it would have been worth $10 almost. Amen. With four bags. Come on. Even trying to tote it to my truck. Amen. But on the way, I always, you know how scarce I am anyway. Amen. I always tell colored people I'm a preacher. Because they respect you more. Most of the time, white people do. I have literally told them that I'm a preacher. And I literally, one night in a crowd of them, I stopped at the wrong store at the wrong time of night. Amen. And I was surrounded before I knew it. And I made the statement. One even got in my truck and said, you're going to take me somewhere. I made the mistake of stopping, but I said, sir, I am a preacher. He said, oh, okay. Amen. And I believe that changed it. And I told this preacher, this boy, I said, I'm a preacher. He said, oh, you in there with Jim Swaggart? Amen. And Jim Baker? I said, no, sir. I ain't got no part of them. Amen. Ain't none among them. He said, well, let me tell you. He said, I understand Jim Baker done it wrong, didn't he? He messed us up. Come on here now. Help me just a while. He messed us up. He said, but Jimmy Swaggart did anything that any other man would do. Amen. Amen. But I look back at him. He said, you know, preacher. Amen. If something, amen, was to tempt you, you would fall in the temptation yourself. Amen. And I kind of got bold for a minute. And I looked back at him and I said, sir, let me tell you something. I'm 22 years old. I said, I don't know nothing. Amen. Come on now. And I've kept myself. Amen. Come on here now. I still got my virtue and I am so thankful for it. And I want you to know, everybody does not give in to their lust. He got under conviction, got the nearby crying, and he said, I've been running around on my wife, preacher. Pray for me. I want to change my ways. Come on here now. Oh, glory. You see, this world cannot comprehend. Amen. But thank God, I am free. I'm no longer a servant. Amen. To sin. I'm no longer a bondage. Amen. Oh, glory. You, oh, glory. Oh, glory. I love this. Amen. I want to tell you something. I wouldn't know what a marijuana leaf even looked like. I wore a hat one time my brother gave me. Amen. I just put it on. It was in his room. Put it on. Took off. And I wore it for days for that week. Amen. Putting it on and putting, you know. Amen. This little hat I had on. And I didn't know nothing. I knew there was some stuff true under the be above it. But I didn't know what it was. Amen. Oh, glory. I was sitting in a restaurant talking to some preacher friends of mine. They'd been at work. Amen. All of a sudden, the boy that was with him, his nephew wasn't saved, or he's just getting in church. He looked at me and said, Brother Greg. I said, what? He said, what do you got under the bib of your cap? I said, I don't know. He said, Brother Greg, you got marijuana leaves. Drew all over the bib of your cap. Come on now. Hallelujah. Amen. I wouldn't even know what even one looked like. Amen. Now I do because I've seen, amen, the picture drawn. Amen. I wouldn't even know what it was like. I've never been drunk. I don't know what it's like. Amen. To be drunk. I've never had a joint in my mouth. I've never seen cocaine. Come on here. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. I've never been hooked on cigarettes. But I can tell you what it's like to feel the power of the Holy Ghost get a hold of my soul. Amen. And as Peter said, these are not drunk as you suppose, seeing it is but the third of the hour of the day. Brother, I don't know what it's like to be drunk on this world's liquor, but I do know what it's like to be drunk in the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. I know what it's like for them to have to put me in the car and carry me home. I know what it's like, amen, to lose. Amen, have to start the car, get out where nobody were, and shout all around my car. Hallelujah. Brother, it ain't just emotion. Hallelujah. But it's joy, unspeakable, and full of glory. Amen. Me and my best friend left church one night, headed home, and got to singing. Whew! And nobody around but me and him. But we stopped the truck and got out and shouted all over this parking lot where we were at. They'd have thought me as crazy. Brother Savage, amen, when I first got saved, amen, oh, help me, Lord, just a while. When I first got saved, amen, that's 14, amen, God came into my life. I remember the first times I shouted, first time I felt His Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I remember going to church and the Spirit and the power of God have fallen and heaven coming down and blessing us. And there was a young boy in my school. I looked at him. I said, hey, buddy, you ought to go to church with me. Amen. We didn't have no young folks at all. Amen. Hardly any. It was just me and my best friend and the pastor's kid. Amen. We had just got saved. No youth class. Amen. They didn't have a teenage teacher. Amen. And when we got saved, we said, can we have a Sunday school class? Well, this man in the back, amen, stood up, a preacher that's just a lay preacher in the church. He goes, preacher, I'd like to teach the teenage class. And the pastor said, fine. Amen. He said, please. I feel like the Lord has laid it on my heart, and I want to teach them. Amen. I want to tell you to the world. They would have said, no, you don't qualify to be a Sunday school teacher. Come on here now. But let me tell you, the first Sunday morning when we got down in our class in the bottom of the church, wow, hallelujah. Amen. He walked up and he said, I'm glad y'all let me teach you. Amen. He said, I feel like teaching from the book of Acts chapter 1. And the Spirit got a hold of him. And I want to tell you, within four weeks, we had over 20 young people. Come on now. Amen. And I want to tell you, it took us a year to get out of the first three chapters of the book of Acts. For he would open his Bible and the power would fall. And we would shout to 1 o'clock in the, come on, evening. Amen. We had bust into the main sanctuary. Shout all over the front. Amen. We had young folks get baptized right in the Sunday school class. Amen. Laid in the yard. Come on now. Help me. Amen. We decided to have a broadcast. 3:30. The Way of Holiness. Amen. Needless to say, 30 minutes would pass. Folks would call and say, give them youngins 30 more minutes. We'll pay for it. Amen. We stay in there hours sometime on Sunday evening, a shouting and a worshiping God. Hallelujah. Why, preacher? Because we are free. That's the reason why. Amen. We act like we do. We're happy. We've got joy overflowing in our hearts. And we're free from sin. Woo! It ain't got to your heart yet. It's in your ears. It's a going to your mind. Amen. And some of you, it's a registering. But when it hurts your heart, you're going to go, man, I am free. I really am free. I'm no longer bound by a life of sin. The reason why some of you don't know what I'm talking about is because you let the devil bind you all the time. I want to tell you, I preached about being in prison spiritually. I want to tell you, the devil can't put me in prison. Boy, you're quiet now. The devil cannot do anything to my spirit. He can only tempt me. He can only stand on this side of the blood going, but he can't walk through the blood and get to my heart and pull me through the blood and make me do the sin. God, I feel like preaching right now. Ow! Hallelujah. He can only stand on the outside saying, hey boy, look. I'm the one that has to turn my back on God, walk through the blood to get to the temptation. But the devil can't cross the bloodline to get to where I'm at. Hallelujah. 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 People say, the devil made me do it. No, he didn't. Come on now. The devil stole my joy. No, he didn't. The devil stole my prayer life. No, he didn't. The devil stole my worship. No, he didn't. Amen. If you don't have it, it's because you laid it down somewhere. Amen. And if you laid it down, then you got the power to go to where it's at and pick it up and say, it's mine, and you can't have it no more. Hallelujah. 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 I'm covered by His blood. Walking by faith, living in love. I'm covered by His blood. Jesus has rescued me. Well, Satan has no hold on my life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know about you tonight. Amen. But I'm so glad that I'm no longer bound by sin or bound by the devil. The devil don't like it, but he had to turn loose of my life. August the 30th, 1989. He had to let go of my life. Young boy went to school. The bullies looked at him and said, bully, said to him, said, let me tell you something. He said, I got saved. I'm a Christian. The bully said, oh, no, you didn't. Said, the devil going to get you. Said, them monsters are going to get you at this young little boy. Said, they're going to get you. He said, oh, no, they ain't. Said, oh, yes, the devil's going to get you. He said, oh, no, he ain't. And he went back to church and he said, pastor, they tell me at school he's going to get me. The devil's going to get me. He said, tell them he can't cross the blood. So he went back to school. And the bullies walked up to him and said, the devil's going to get you. You know that? The devil's going to get you. He said, uh-uh, boys. He can't cross the bloodline. They said, oh, yes, he will. And the little boy didn't know what to say then. So he said, oh, if he does, he'll just be a saved, sanctified devil. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Wow! There are only two masters in this world. There is even the Savior and the devil. You either love one and hate the other, whether you like it or not. It's Bible. Amen. You either hate one and love the other, or love the other and hate the other. Come on. Amen. You cannot serve two masters. Come on now. Help me just a while. Amen. I want to tell you, Christ did not come to make sin tolerable, to make it so we can put up with it. Christ came that we can be free from our sin. Help me while I preach. There is a liberty that I'm afraid the church is missing, that the saints of the living God are not experiencing. The genuine liberty that we have got when we come to church and we do not worship, you cannot blame it on the devil for stopping you from having church. Now, he don't want this to go on. He don't want what's happening to go on. Amen. But I want to tell you, there ain't nothing he can do about what's going on. Come on here. Help me a while. Hello? Hello? Hallelujah, Brother Sammy. Hello? Hallelujah. Amen. I was preaching in a youth camp, and I said to the young folks to get their attention, I said, look at somebody and say, he can't touch this. Hallelujah. He can't cross the bloodline to get where I'm at, to touch our lives. Come on here now. Even Jesus has covered us in the blood, and there ain't a devil in hell that can get in and bind us. The blood still reigns. The blood still flows from Calvary in this hour. I gotta hurry. Young colored man, amen, went to prison for an awful crime. But in the prison house, he got saved. Amen, got sanctified, filled the Holy Ghost. Amen, called to preach and began to preach the gospel to the prisoners. Amen, and a revival broke out. Amen, such as they never really seen, they said. Amen, in the prison ministry, but a revival broke out. And when it broke out, said he began, the Lord began to move and save all kind of people. Said when it came time for parole, said he went before the judge, and the judge looked at him and said, sir, said, young man, I realize that now you have got religion since you've been in the church. I mean, you've been in prison. Amen. But I want to tell you, how many knows what I'm saying when I say it? Amen. Salvation ain't religion. Come on, religion is God's number one enemy. Because there are so many boundaries that when I go to preach to some people, amen, they look at me and say, well, I just don't believe it like you do. Amen, I just don't think of it that way. Come on, it ain't going to matter to a hill of beans worth of nothing what you are. Amen, when you get to the judgment, all God's going to ask you, are you washed in the blood? Have you lived by the Bible? And if your name ain't written down, you're not going to make it. And the judge said, I've heard you've got religion, buddy. Sir, son, he said, yes, sir. And he said, may I speak to you? The judge said, wait. He said, I have looked. He said, but your crime is so bad, I cannot let you out right now. You got to serve some more time. Amen. When he stood and said, now can I talk, judge? He said, sure, son. Say what you want to say. He said, Mr. Judge, I want to thank you for sending me to prison. Said, I want to thank you with all my heart, because since you sent me to prison, I really realized how much I was in prison. Though I was behind those bars, that really wasn't my prison. My prison was myself. And said, Judge, I may go back to the prison, but sir, you're really the one that's in prison to your sin. Said, but thank you for letting me go to prison, because I have found Jesus and he has set me free. 2 weeks later, a nice dressed man walked into the prison house, walked up to the cell of the young boy and said, excuse me, son. Yes, sir. He said, can I have a word with you? He said, yes, sir. He said, I want to thank you for coming into my courtroom. For ever since 2 weeks ago, you come into my courtroom. I really realize I send people to prison all the time, but me, myself, was really the one that was deep in prison. And I want to thank you for coming in my courtroom. House for this Sunday. I gave my life, amen, to Jesus Christ, and now I'm free just like you are. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Oh, glory! I gotta hurry here. Amen. You watch an elephant when it's a baby, you tie it to a stake, a big stake, it'll stay with that stake because it can't pull up, it's too little. So it grows tied to that stake. So even when it becomes an adult, you can take it off that stake, take it to the biggest tree in the forest, or the jungle. Wrap the rope around. He'll pull tree trunk and all up. Amen. He's got the power to do so. But you can take that same elephant, take him back, wrap him around that same little stake he's been wrapped around since he was a child, and he'll not pull it up. Because he has lived all of his life thinking, I can't pull it up. I'm just going to go to you now. I can't pull it up. I can't pull it up. I can't get any further. I'm stuck right here. But what he don't know is he's got the power, amen, to even move his little pinky toe and pull that stake right out of the ground. Come on, even if I don't know if an elephant's got a pinky toe or not, but he's got the power to pull that stake up with just one little twitch. Hallelujah. But you see, it's in his mind. I can't, I can't, I can't, I can't. And how often are we bound to little bitty things in our lives that the devil has said, you can't get over, you can't get over, you can't get delivered, you can't get free, you can't get free, you can't get free, you can't get free. Why don't you quit listening to the devil and jump up and say, oh yes I can, for the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. Hallelujah, 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 amen. I was telling you a while ago, the young boy, football was my life. I ate it, walked it, talked it, slept it. It was my life. My father, ever since I was able to walk, put me in pads, put me in the yard, and knocked me around till I couldn't hardly see straight. Amen. Said, I'm going to make a football player out of you. Amen. Oh, glory. And I played it all my life till June. Amen. Until August, I got saved. Still played. Woo! And I remember the night, amen, they were having a revival somewhere. Amen. And I just realized I didn't want to go to the ball. I didn't want to go play. I want to go to church. Ain't that crazy? Amen. And I remember the night that I went to that ball game and played. And you're going to think I'm crazy. But I felt the Spirit of the Lord walk up to me on the sideline. Amen. And said, you could be in my house tonight. Amen. And when he did, needless to say, the next day, my life that I had lived to play that game, to make daddy happy, amen, I took every bit of my pads and helmet, laid it on, amen, the coach's desk and said, I'm through. He said, you can't. Amen, I'll make something out of you if you stay with me. I said, no, sir, I am through. And I want to tell you, brother, I didn't grudge when I did it. I didn't walk out of there with my head tucked when I did it. Brother, I was so happy. Because I want to tell you, brother, me and Brother Sam have been talking about sanctification. Amen. And he said, it's all right if I talk like I'm fixing to talk. Amen. I want to tell you, when you get sanctified over something, come on now, it ain't a grudgery. But the Lord can give you such victory, you can shout while you don't do. Come on here. I walked out of there with my head in the air, happy in my heart that I had what I had. There's two sides to sanctification, a negative and a positive. The negative is you got to give up all this junk that you love. Come on, my God, I feel like preaching tonight. I'm glad we're going on two more nights. Hallelujah. Amen. And you have to leave all this up. Turn your back on it. But when you get over here to the positive side, what you get instead of all of that is worth giving it up and cleaning up to get what you get when you get over here. And I want to tell you, if you can just give it up, you can have it all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. With my football buddies. Amen. They'd talk, and I'd be sitting on the back row with them talking. Amen. Monday morning, I come walking in smiling right when the tardy bell rings. And I'd run in. Amen. I'd run in, and I'd get on the back seat, and I'd be smiling. Amen. From ear to ear. And they look at me, and they say, what are you so happy about? I said, every Monday, you're just so happy. And I said, well, what are you so sad about? Not hear them tell them at the party in time that they have that weekend. And I say, oh, amen, but yet you're so sad today. Amen. Well, it's because what it did. I said, well, the reason why I'm happy is because what I did. I went to church Friday night. I went to church Saturday night. I went Sunday morning. I went Sunday evening. Then I went again Sunday night. Come on now. Amen. My mama go to town. Amen. The boys at the grocery store say, "Where's Ray about church?" Amen. Go back the next night. "Where's Ray about church?" Go back the next night. "Where's Ray about church?" Amen. Every night of the week. Amen. They said, "Man, that's all he does is church." And that's all I've been doing for 8 years is church. Amen. And I want to tell you, it ain't a grudge. It's joy unspeakable and full of glory.
I'm finished. Even you're tired. We've been in church since 5. I have. Some of y'all just come in later, but some of us have been here since 5. We're tired. I remember Philip, bless his heart. He said, "Ralph, but I'd go to y'all's church. I ain't going with y'all acting like that. So I ain't want no part of that stuff." I said, "Go with me one time, Philip." He said, "Go with me one time. Just one time. Please." He said, "It's 1:30. Long years ago, went out in sin. I had no peace, no joy within. Down on my knees in agony, I prayed to Jesus." You ever notice this? "And he gladly set me free." Amen. I don't know if you ever noticed that. But every time I get that part, it takes all I can do to keep from shouting. "He gladly set me." I can see Jesus washing me in his blood with a smile on his face. Wow! It was just as much joy to wash me in his blood as it was for me to get washed in the blood. Oh, y'all. Amen. Y'all ain't feeling what I'm feeling right now, are you? Amen. He gladly did it. Amen. He didn't do it grudgingly. He gladly did it. He was glad to look back at the devil the whole time he was washing me in his blood and cleaning me up, saying, "You used to have him, but now I've got him, and you ain't got him no more, because he is mine." Come on here. Help me while I preach. Wow! Now I can feel him by my side. My feeble steps, he's coming to God. When trials come, he comforts me. Through faith in him over sin, I shall have victory. I never shall forget the day. I don't care how dead it was. You sang that song in choir. Me and my best friend would shout every time nearby. Because I was flat sure happy about what I've got. And I don't care how dead it was. We loved to shout. And we'd drop the hat. We'd shout and drop a hat and drop the hat ourselves. Because I loved to shout. But that night I said, "Lord, please let us be calm." I sat back on the back row, holding on to the pew. And my best friend said, "Sing 1:30. I said, "Oh, no." And I said, I'm going to calm down here. I held on to the bench. And Philip was sitting down, and I was standing up. When they got through the first verse of that song in the chorus and got on that second one, I lost it. And about 30 minutes later, I come to myself. And I was down the middle of that aisle. Glory to God. And finally, when I come to myself, I said, "Oh no. What have I done? He is gone." And I turned around. I was scared to turn around. But when I turned around, he's sitting there looking at me with tears. He said, "Ralph, whatever you got, can I have it too?" I said, "Yes, sir. Come on." And me and him both ran down that aisle. He gave his heart to Jesus Christ. 3 weeks later, a girl in my school said, "I'd go to church with you." Walked out of there with my head in the air, happy in my heart that I had what I had. There's two sides to sanctification, a negative and a positive. The negative is you got to give up all this junk that you love. Come on, my God, I feel like preaching tonight. I'm glad we're going on 2 more nights. Hallelujah. Amen. And you have to leave all this up. Turn your back on it. But when you get over here to the positive side, watch you get Instead of all of that, it's worth giving it up and cleaning up to get what you get when you get over here. And I want to tell you, if you can just give it up, you can have it all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. With my football buddies. Amen. They'd talk, and I'd be sitting on the back row with them talking. Amen. Monday morning, I come walking in smiling, right when the tardy bell rings, and I run in. Amen. I'd run in, and I'd sit on the back seat, and I'd be smiling, even from ear to ear. When they look at me, and they say, "What are you so happy about?" I said, "Every Monday, you're just so happy." And I said, "Well, what are you so sad about?" Not hear them tell them at the party in time that they have that weekend. And I say, "Oh, amen, but yet you're so sad today." Amen. "Well, it's because what I did." I said, "Well, the reason why I'm happy is because what I did." I went to church Friday night. I went to church Saturday night. I went Sunday morning. I went Sunday evening. Then I went again Sunday night. Come on now. Amen. My mama go to town. Amen. The boys at the grocery store say, "Where's Rev at church?" Amen. Go back the next night. "Where's Rev at church?" Go back the next night. "Where's Rev at church?" Amen. Every night of the week. Amen. They said, "Man, that's all he does is church." And that's all I've been doing for 8 years is church. Amen. And I want to tell you, it ain't a grudge. It's joy unspeakable and full of glory. We've been in church since 5. I have. Some of y'all just come in later, but some of us been here since 5. We're tired. I remember Philip, bless his heart. He said, "Rail, but I'd go to y'all's church. I ain't going with y'all acting like that. I ain't want no part of that stuff." I said, "Go with me one time, Philip. Just go with me one time. Just one time. Please." He said, "It's 1:30. Long years ago, went out in sin. I had no peace, no joy within. Down on my knees in agony, I prayed to Jesus." You ever notice this? "And he gladly set me free." Amen. I don't know if you ever noticed that. But every time I get that part, it takes all I can do to keep from shouting. "He gladly set me." I can see Jesus washing me in his blood with a smile on his face. It was just as much joy to wash me in his blood as it was for me to get washed in the blood. Oh, y'all. Amen. Y'all ain't feeling what I'm feeling right now, are you? Amen. He gladly did it. Amen. He didn't do it grudgingly. He gladly did it. He was glad to look back at the devil the whole time he was washing me in his blood and cleaning me up, saying, "You used to have him, but now I've got him, and you ain't got him no more, because he is mine." Come on here. Help me while I preach. Wow! Now I can feel him by my side. My feeble steps, he's coming to God. When trials come, he comforts me. Through faith in him, over sin, I shall have victory. I never shall forget the day. I don't care how bad it was. You sang that song in choir, me and my best friend would shout every time nearby. Because I was flat sure happy about what I've got. And I don't care how dead it was. We loved to shout. And we'd drop the hat. We'd shout and drop a hat and drop the hat ourselves. Because I loved to shout. But that night I said, "Lord, please let us be calm." And I sat back on the back row, holding on to the pew. And my best friend said, "Sing 1:30. I said, "Oh, no." And I said, I'm going to calm down here. Held on to the bench, and Philip was sitting down, and I was standing up. When they got through the first verse of that song in the chorus and got on that second one, I lost it. And about 30 minutes later, I come to myself. And I was down the middle of that aisle. And finally, when I come to myself, I said, oh no. What have I done? He is gone. And I turned around. I was scared to turn around. But when I turned around, he's sitting there looking at me with tears. He said, Ralph, whatever you got, can I have it too? I said, yes, sir. Come on. And me and him both ran down that aisle. He gave his heart to Jesus Christ. 3 weeks later, a girl in my school said, I'd go to church with you. Same thing. I said, come on. She said, you going to sit with me? I said, sure. I said, will you? Amen. I said, except for choir, I'm going to the choir because I knew there was no sense in it. Amen. Sure enough, I got in the choir again, 1:30, and the Holy Ghost fell again. Wow! And when I come to myself, I looked back and she was gone. And so I headed out the door to go find her. So when I walked past the pew, I heard somebody going, and I looked down between the pew, and she done buried her face in the pew, weeping. And she said, Greg and Rev, I want what y'all got. Can I have? Come on. And they helped pray her through the salvation. Oh, help me just a little while. Hallelujah. I want to tell you, brother, there's one thing that I want to, amen, accomplish in my ministry is to show young folks everywhere I go, you can be saved, sanctified, and Holy Ghost filled, amen, and be the happiest man on the face of the earth. On Friday nights when we go to Shawnee's at my hometown, when all my football buddies are there, we're there. Brother, I didn't walk in with my head down, no sir. Even I walked in with it head up, walked over to their seat and said, hey boys, how you doing? And talked to them, went back to my seat and gladly stood up, amen, to pray. You say, preacher, amen, you're trying to show up. No, I want them to know that what I've got, I am happy to have it, and it is not a grudgery for me to give up this world. Hallelujah. Amen. They say, you're missing it, preacher. You're missing out. Amen. But I want to tell you tonight, amen, in my life, in my high school years, the devil said I would never make it across. Amen. And graduate June 4th, I walked across 1993, grabbed my diploma, went and preached a week's revival. And that's been 4 years ago, and I'm still preaching today. Come on here, help me. Help me. The devil said, you'll never make it. Oh, yes, he did. But by the grace of God, I'm still here tonight, and I'm still living right. And I thank God that I am still free. From my sin, from Satan, I'm no longer bound. Come on, some of you looking at me funny tonight. Some of you say, you better not say that, he's going to tear your car up. Well, he already does that anyway. You say, you better be quiet, he's going to mess with your family. Well, he's already doing that anyway. So I might as well have something when I meet him tomorrow to fight him with. Come on here. Amen. I hope I'm helping you a little bit tonight. Hallelujah. Brother Savage, I'm just to close. Amen. My 11th grade year, my junior year, was the hardest year of my ministry. It was the hardest year of my life, one of the hardest ones I've ever been in. 10th grade year, I was in geometry class. I went through a little trial, and I thought it was Mount Everest. I'll never get over this thing. Now it's like a molehill. I just walk over compared to the mountains I'm facing these days. I remember my 11th grade year, and it was prom night. And I hadn't felt God all year. I told Brother Savage this other night. I hadn't felt God in a year. The devil set on me, began to fight me with everything he had. God's left you. God's forgot about you. And riding on the outside of town, and all my friends says, Ray, why aren't you going to the prom? Because I don't listen to that kind of music. I said, if I go there and listen to that kind of music, will you still have confidence in me? He said, well, you say it that way, we would, because we know what you believe. Going on the outside of town that day, Brother Tim, you're going to think I'm crazy. But out there, you wouldn't. And I know what happened. I was in my car, hit it outside town. When I felt like all the hell sit down in my car, I was 5 miles outside town. And all the hell, the devil himself sat down in the passenger seat. I felt like. And he screamed in my ear, God has left you. He don't love you. He don't care about you. You ain't failed him in a year, have you? That's what the devil does. He tries to get between your relationship with Jesus. He tries to ruin your confidence. And I want to tell you, I thought to myself, devil, you're right. The devil said, won't you just turn this car around? Go to your prom. Brother Doug, I pulled, I'm going to tell you, you're going to think crazy. I pulled my foot off the gas and was turning around. I said, you're right, he's left me, I ain't got him in a year. And I literally pulled my foot off the gas and went to mash the brake. And I tried three times, but I couldn't find a brake in my car. And I tried three times and it didn't take me but the third time to realize that the almighty power of God had pulled out that brake. If I had tried the fourth time, I liable would have found it. The fifth time, I liable would have found it. But God loves us so much. He don't want us to backslide and he'll go out of his way. Brother Doug, I said, thank you, Jesus. I began to cry and I said, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. And I got to church that night, fellowship meeting, and the power of God fell in that house and laid me out in the Spirit for the first time in a year. God touched me. But all hell knew if he could have got me to turn that car around, I wouldn't be where I'm at tonight. Amen. I'm closing with this, I promise you. Amen. Amen. I know I done said that. I said, we're going to preach long. Here I am, almost an hour. My junior year, my teacher, my Methodist teacher, had a class of all the speech class. It was all the, you know, football boys and cheerleaders. So I was in my class. And my teacher, you know, we the loudest class, cutting it up class, and one of the most cutting up boys there was. Marcus. I always laugh and make fun of other people, but my teacher said, Greg, will you give your speech on missionaries? I said, huh? I know nothing about it. I was headed to Costa Rica, but I didn't know nothing about even missionaries. I said, I don't know nothing. She said, please do it. And I said, okay. And I'm like most young folks. I waited till the last night. 2 weeks later, I wrote it on the last night. I cried, and when I went to bed, I said, Lord, please touch me. I wish your spirit would move while I'm telling it tomorrow. Walked in my classroom, and my teacher looked at me. I was the last one to give my speech. She looked at me, and she said, Greg, she said, I've got a tape over there. I want you to play the first verse in the chorus, give your speech, then play the next verse in the chorus. I'm a savage. I walked to that podium. I turned on that tape, and it began to play. My house is full. My fields are empty. And I want to tell you, this is what makes Christian life so sweet. I'd stood up for Jesus in my school. But on that day, he paid me a visit. In such a way, Brother Savage, when he walked into that classroom, we went to school in trailers because our school had got flooded. When he walked in that trailer house, Sister Savage, nobody made fun that day. Nobody laughed that day. I looked back at my Methodist teacher, and she said, tears are just rolling like a river down her cheek. I give my speech and tell them the disadvantages. I talk about food mostly. That the food you have to eat, you leave McDonald's, you know, you get some McDonald's, no steakhouse, you just went home. I said, you have to give up your mom and your dad and go over there and just be there and just preach to them. I gave him all the disadvantages, but when I got finished, I said, now I'm going to tell you the greatest of all advantages. The greatest advantage is when you sacrificed and you get the preaching, and that whole family on the back row gets up that's lost, that don't know God, and they walk down to that altar, and they give themselves to Jesus. I said, young folks, they and $1 million can take the place of that. I looked out across there by the Savage and I mashed the tape to play the rest of the song. And I saw them cheerleaders crying. They have to grade you and tell you what they think of your speech.
And that day, my teacher called me, Miss Killingsworth called me over there and called me and said, Greg, I need you to come to my class before you leave today. When I walked in, they have to grade you. You have to tell what they think about your speech. And as I walked in her classroom, she started crying again. She said, son, I know God's with you. And I know God's going with you. She gave me a box of papers and she said, son, no matter where you get in your ministry, down the road, said, I always want you to read these papers. Said, because this is what your classmates think of your life. First one was, girl tried to be sophisticated. She said, well, your speech was very inspirational. I really enjoyed your speech today. And she said, I thought it was outstanding, you know, went on. The second one I read, you know, Rev, today, said, I go to church all my life. There was something happening in that trailer today. Like I knew. All this made me feel good, but here's the best one of all, was when I get to one of the coolest boys in school. One of the most partying students, had all the fame, went on to play college football. Wrote in his paper, said, Rail, today something happened to me, and I'll never be the same. Whatever was in that classroom today, I never felt. Said, I may not be like you, Rail, but one of these days, I want to be just like you. It wasn't me he wanted. It was my Jesus, my best friend, he wanted to stand all over the building with me. I'm finished. Please, everybody, stand with me. In respect to the presence of God, if you're physically able, stand. I said, I was closing. I am. A ninth grade year, big old Wade. 300-something pounds. The biggest, toughest boy in the whole class school. He's a senior. We'd be in the bus. Wade would pick at me and say, you Christian, you sissy. He'd always pick at me. I mean, just all the time. He'd say, Rev, you heard the latest? And he'll begin to tell me a bad story. And I'd say, Wade, I don't want to hear it. Now stop. You know, and everybody laughed at me. Everybody mocked, you know, look at Rev, you sissy. He listened to our jokes. That big old Wade could fight anybody in town. Nobody messed with Wade Hart. I mean, even in town, you do not mess with Wade Hart. He could whoop anybody, two people at a time about it. He picked at me and picked at me my whole ninth grade year. He graduated and I didn't see him. And after I graduated, I was preaching revival. Graduated in June, I was preaching revival September, Sister Savage tent meeting. When a beat up car drove up outside my tent meeting. I looked as this big old huge something got out of it. Walked under that tent, Brother Savage. Ducked his head and walked under it. Sat down. He sat there and I began to preach that night on this something. Got a hold of you that you can't beat. And it's sin. I preached like I did this morning. Sin's got a hold of you and won't let you go. I walked back to that, my natural side says, goody, goody, look at him, look where you're at, but that ain't the way it should have been. Because I turned right around, that thought went through my head, and I began to cry. I said, oh, but here's my opportunity. And I walked back to the back of that tent when Wade Hart stood up in front of everybody with tears dripping off his chin. He said, Ralph, can you help me? Can you help me, man? And I said, sure, son. He grabbed my hand, and the boy who bullied me in school, I walked him down to the altar. The platform was high, and I climbed on the platform. He reached and grabbed my head under so much. He was crying so hard, pulled my neck down. I said, Lord, you're going to break my neck. He beat that altar for an hour. Help me, Jesus, help me. But what he found out was what Rev had in school. The freedom
being saved, free from sin, and he wanted what I had. And tonight, you may walk out of this church again lost. But you're the one that's missing. You're the one that doesn't have life. You'll say, preacher, you're the one, all you do is preach. But brother, to feel what I feel on the inside of myself tonight makes it worth everything. Amen. I'm finished. Come play, Sister Marshall. Even every head bowed, every eye closed. How many this night would say, Brother Greg, I've allowed the devil to bind me sometimes in my life, but I want to be free. Amen. And I'm coming to this altar because I'm just, amen, proclaim the liberty which is mine. Come on. Amen. The blood of Jesus is for you tonight, young man. The blood of Jesus is for you tonight, places. You may say, well, thank God it ain't like it was last night or this morning with conviction. But if I couldn't feel conviction tonight, I'd be scared to think that God ain't dealing with me. The blood of Jesus still flows tonight to cleanse you from all your sins. Why don't you come on out of that pew tonight? I'm not going to linger long. I just preached a little of my heart, a little message. And thank God I'm free. Come on. That's it, young lady. Why don't you come on tonight? Get free from your sin. It won't hurt you to walk to this altar and lay yourself down and say, wash me, Jesus. That's it, buddy. Wash me in your blood, Jesus. Why don't you come on tonight? Come on tonight, everybody that will. Come on and pray. You're lost. Come on, please. Don't stay bound. Don't stay in bondage to your sin. Come on this altar tonight. Don't leave like you are. Amen. Don't leave like you are. Hallelujah. You're bound by a life of sin. The only hope for you is the blood of Jesus Christ. You're going to need Him in a few days. What was in this house this morning, you needed it. You know you needed it. It's bothered you all day today. It's bothered you all day today. And you're wrestling with it tonight. If I was you, in spite of everybody that has backslid, everybody that's went out, I'd run to this altar and give my life to God. For you're only playing a game that you lose. You may say, well, preacher, I'm so glad you didn't come my way tonight strong. You may be glad that I've the Spirit left you alone tonight. But it may never touch you again. It may never touch you again. You hear this, preacher? Our attitude toward the Spirit of God and the conviction of God, it will cause the judgment of God to be stronger on your life, your attitude. And you're going to need Him in a few days. You may not be able to find Him. Oh, God, have mercy tonight. Have mercy tonight. Have mercy tonight. The devils are laughing at you, saying, ha, I've got him. I've got her. One of these days when you're burned, if you die lost, you burn in eternity, you'll scream. The devil said, you should have listened. You should have prayed. I lied to you and told you you had all the time you needed. And you listened to me. You fool, you fool, you listened to me. You listened to me. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, thank God I am free. Hallelujah. 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 You can have that liberty which is in Christ Jesus tonight.
The blood of Jesus. I've been born again.
Oh, hallelujah. I'm
saved. 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 By His wonderful grace.
Thank God we are free from sin. Free from the bondage of sin. Hallelujah.
He would bring me out.
Show me the way.